I'm writing this in Florida, where Russ and I are taking a vacation with his sister Jean and her husband Mike and visiting our son Joe. On Sunday, I forced everyone to make a trip to Lake Kissimmee State Park so we could see Florida scrub jays. This endangered species is probably the funnest, easiest to see endangered species in the world. If you are in the right place at the right time, they're not only approachable, they actually approach you and even light on your head and hands. So this turned into one of the highlights of the trip for everyone. I got a lot of cool photos of the birds and even made a self-portrait of myself with a scrub jay on my head. While everyone was enjoying the jays, I noticed a couple of warblers fly in near us, and a whole flock of them landed in a tree about 50 yards away. I looked at them with binoculars and picked out a couple of common ones, and then, what to my wondering eyes should appear but another endangered species, this one completely unexpected on migration, a Kirtland's warbler. Kirtland's warbler nests only in the northern part of the Lower Peninsula of Michigan, on the ground beneath jack pine trees, and it winters in the Bahamas. Obviously, to get from one place to the other, it has to get through or around Florida somehow, so it wouldn't be terribly surprising to see one there, but there simply are not many records of Kirtland's warblers on migration. I immediately recognized the bird. It was a male, and since Russ and I used to live in Michigan, I'd studied it quite a bit. But it's always easy in the excitement of seeing any potential rarity to miss critical details. I was the only birder in our group, but because I immediately realized this was at least most likely a Kirtland's warbler, I started calling out field marks, more to fix them in my own mind than to convey them to anyone else in my group. The bird not only had the perfect adult male plumage, but also wagged its tail up and down exactly as Kirtland's warblers are supposed to. I didn't get a photograph. I had the bird in view for a very short time, only 30 to 40 seconds, and didn't want to risk taking my binoculars off it while I was checking all the field marks. When it flew off, I grabbed my scope, but couldn't get any of the warblers it was associating with back in view. Everyone else was growing a little restless and interested in seeing more of the park, so I sent them off while I stuck around the same area for 2 hours, hoping the warbler flock would return. They didn't, but I had a splendid time looking for them and watching the scrub jays. I wrote up the details of the sighting to send to the Florida Rare Bird Alert. I'll have to find out where to send the documentation to wherever records of rare birds are sent. I don't know if a site record without photographic documentation is acceptable for such a rare bird, but whether or not the record is accepted, it's worth reporting. As we've learned with the ivory-billed woodpecker reports, a photograph or videotape provides a far sounder basis for proof than a simple site record. Kirtland's warbler is obviously not as rare as an ivory bill. There are a couple thousand Kirtland's warblers in the world instead of somewhere close to zero. But a sound checklist of a state's avifauna requires the highest levels of proof. I posted my documentation for this sighting on my blog, and I'll keep you posted whether or not it's accepted. Production of For the Birds is supported by KUMD and binoculars.com. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.